If you've been here before, you've seen that it changed a little bit, and our team's done a great job of being able to set up the space where now we're going to be able to expand underneath the sides as well, and you'll still be able to have good viewing angles no matter where you're at, which we're really excited about. And if you were a part of the last service or if you saw it at the end, you would realize why that is necessary. I highly encourage you to continue attending this service where there are seats. But we've had a great morning all morning and just enjoying what God's doing. We had three baptisms in the last service, which was amazing. And we've just been celebrating so many things, coming back together. Our first ever Missions Sunday, which is awesome. And as you look around the room, you see these things set up. Yeah, did you guys celebrate that? I'm really, 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 really excited about that. And we've seen some great things happen throughout the morning as people are interacting with these tables and people are taking steps, which is really, really exciting. And I know for some of you, you're saying, wait a second, Mission Sunday? It seems like you guys talk about the mission all the time. It seems like every time I walk in here, all you're talking about is the mission. We're on mission, we're on mission, we're on mission. But today we want to introduce you to, or we want to maybe expand your idea of what that means. And sometimes when we talk about it, inside the local context, we can begin to believe something that, to be honest with you, is just simply not true. And as we say it week after week after week, that we're here to help people find their way back to God. Hope, hope, and grace exists to help people find their way back to God. One of my fears, and I think one of the things that can happen inside of our family that would be a huge pitfall, is that we can begin to believe that this is a local mission, that we can begin to believe that this is about our local mission. But the truth is that when you look at the scriptures, you look at what drives us in this, you look at what Jesus Christ says, the mission that we've been given, and as we say it on a weekly basis, I hope that you, that moving forward, you grab a hold of this. This isn't just about how locally we're going to help people find their way back to God. This is a global mission that we've been given. Let me take you to a couple passages. One of them you're pretty familiar with because we talk about it quite frequently. It's the foundational passage when it comes to mission. It's when Jesus is sending his disciples out, right? He sends them on mission. He's just about to leave them. And he says to them, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, all nations. He's talking about, okay, this is big. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And you look at this key passage here where Jesus is stepping into his disciples' lives and saying, listen, I want you to go. I want you to go. And he says, even inside this passage, I want you to go to all nations. But a couple chapters earlier, he actually clarifies even that even a little further, or gets a little bit more specific about that, just in case, you know, all nations, does he really mean all nations, or, you know, is it just the nations that are close? Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus again is talking to his disciples, and he says this, it says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Jesus pulls his disciples together, he's just about to leave, and he says, here's the deal, guys, I'm going to leave so that someone else can come and be with you. He says, and here's your mission. I want you to take what you've experienced in me. I want you to take my love, I want you to take my message, and I want you to take it to the world. Just a small thing. Just a small thing, guys. Right? Like, it's just here's your mission. Take this to the world. And one of the things that I think can happen as we get together on a consistent basis, we talk about this idea of mission. We're on mission. We're here to help people find their way back to God. Hope, hope, and grace exists to help people find their way back to God, is that we can begin to lock ourselves into a local mentality. We haven't been given a local mission. We've been given a global mission. And it's unbelievably important that we understand that because as God is interacting with our lives, he's not interacting with our lives just about what's happening in our neighbor's life. He wants to interact with us based on this idea that, listen, you have a global mission. And today, as we walk through this, I want to be able to expand the mission for you. And as we talk about it within our church, we often talk about it locally because we're talking about how we're impacting people locally and how we're engaging people locally. But again, this is not just about what's going to happen in Hoboken. We've been given a mission to take the message of Christ to the world. Do you guys know that there are still places in the world who have never heard the message of Jesus Christ? That there are groups of people that have no one in their sphere of influence as communicating the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, I want you guys to make sure that doesn't happen. It's our mission. It's not just local. It's global. One of the first things that I'm nervous about is that we will shrink the mission. But then also there's this other lie that comes into play when it comes to this mission and this idea that we've been sent, or this idea of going and that God is sending people. In the scriptures, Jesus paints a picture of this mission for us. And he's talking to his disciples. He says, listen, I want for you to be able to understand what this looks like. So let me paint a picture for you. It actually comes right after a really powerful conversation that he has with the woman at the well. And inside this story, Jesus is interacting with this woman while his disciples are in town getting food for him. And they're traveling through the countryside. He sends the disciples into town. As he sits down beside the well, this woman comes out. And usually the Jews wouldn't interact with the Samaritans at all, but Jesus does. And he has this really powerful conversation with this woman. And she actually comes to the point where she believes him about who he is and decides to follow him. Not only does she believe him, but then she goes back into town. She gets all of the town. The town comes out and they begin to interact with him about who he is and that he's the Messiah and that he's come to be able to bring wholeness and to be able to bring life. And in the midst of this, as Jesus is interacting with all of these people, this entire city of people that are coming out to figure out who is this guy and what is he doing, he begins to talk to his disciples about the mission that they have, this global mission. And he begins to paint a picture for them of what this looks like. But listen to what it says. John chapter 4, beginning of verse 30, it says, so the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. And Jesus is interacting with these people, but the disciples come back with the food. They're like, listen, you need to eat something. You need to eat something. This happens all the time in my staff meeting. I have celiac, so I don't feel hungry. It's a weird thing. We'll talk about it another time. But basically, I never feel hunger at any time. I can go days without eating. I don't actually feel hungry. Like I said, it's weird. Some of you are looking at me like, this dude's really weird. But what will happen is our staff meeting, it'll get to be like 1 or 2 o'clock, and my staff will be like, oh, you need to eat something. You need to eat something. And it doesn't really have anything to do with me. It's they want to eat something, so they kind of hide it behind caring about me. But in this situation, the disciples are coming back to Jesus, and they're saying, listen, you need to eat something, you need to eat something. And Jesus says, no, I'm fine. And he actually responds back to them. It says, but Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. They're always a little slow to pick up on these things, right? A little slow. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and harvester alike. And he begins to paint this picture for them in this mission. He said, guys, listen, well, I'm sending you out and you need to understand something. I'm sending you into the world, and the world around us is like this field. It's like this field, and it's just ripe unto harvest. And he's just having the conversation. As it continues, he actually says to them, so pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers. He says, guys, the problem isn't, when you look at the mission that I'm giving, the problem isn't that the field isn't ripe unto harvest. The problem is that no one's there. And so just a couple chapters later, he says to them, so I want you to
go. Because if you don't go, they're not going to know. I want you to go. And sometimes I think the problem is that we shrink the mission, but then also there's this lie inside of what we believe about this idea of missions and this idea of going. A couple weeks ago inside your dinner group, if you're inside of a dinner group, we asked for you to be able to read through the story of the rich young ruler. To be able to ensure. He says, listen, you know the law? And he says, yeah, I know the law. He says, so do that. And the rich young ruler says to Jesus, he says, yeah, I got that down, which is an intriguing thing to say in and of itself, because you have to wonder about that and whether or not he actually did. But even more intriguing is the fact that Jesus doesn't push back on it. As a matter of fact, he doesn't push back on it at all. He says, okay, then what I want you to do next then is I want you to sell everything that you have and I want you to give it to the poor and then I want you to come follow me. And as the individual hears Jesus say this, it says that he went away sad because he wasn't willing to do it. And for a lot of my life, I interacted with that passage in a way where I looked at it and I said, man, this is an incredibly difficult thing that Jesus is asking this guy to do. And I hope that if Jesus ever asked me to do that, that I would say yes. But even more, I kind of hope he never asks. Right? You've been there. Maybe as you talked about it in your dinner group a couple weeks ago, you thought the very same thing. You're like, I hope that I'd be willing to say yes, but I really hope that he never asks. And I think in some ways, when it comes to this idea of going and this idea that we've been given this mission and that we see Jesus interacting with his disciples, with his followers, he's like, listen, I want you to go. I want you to take this to the whole world. We look at that and we look at that interaction. And I think for a lot of us, we interact with it the very same way that we interact with the conversation of the rich young ruler, where we say to ourselves, man, I hope that if Jesus asked me to go, I'd be willing to go. But even more so, I really hope he never asks. And for a lot of us, we think about it in terms of Africa. You know, like I don't know if I'd be willing to go to Africa if God asked, but I just hope he never really asked. For me, it's not Africa that scares me. Africa's cool. I would love to be able to go to Africa. To be honest with you, it's like if God ever asked me to go to Vermont. You have to live with all these vegetarians. It's like a horror movie for me. Or even worse, Canada. Sorry if you're Canadian. We think to ourselves as we see Jesus saying these things and seeing Jesus interact with people in this way, we think to ourselves, man, I hope I would say yes, but I hope even more that he never asks. For most of my life, I interacted with the story of the rich young ruler this way. And so one day I was sitting there reading through it, reading through what Jesus says around it, reading through these passages where Jesus is talking to his followers and he says things like, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to take up his cross and die. And as I was reading through it, it hit me. You see, I'd believed a lie. This whole time I'd been hoping that he'd never ask. When the truth is, he'd already asked a long time ago. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I wanted to hold on to what I believed was mine. I don't know why, but for most of my life, I interacted with these statements of Jesus where he talks about leaving it all behind to follow him. And I'd said to myself, I hope he never asks. Until one day, I looked at the scriptures for what it actually says, and I realized he already did. And whether it's the fact that he's asked us, not necessarily that we sell everything and give it, but that he's asked every single one of us to use all that we've been given, everything that we have, to follow him and help others find him as well. Whether it's that or whether it's this idea of going and being sent, I think for so many of us, we think, man, I hope that I would say yes if God told me to go. But I hope he never asks. He already has. We just haven't been honest about what it says. We've just lied to each other about what it says. He's not just talking to the 12 in Matthew 28, Matthew 24, John 4. You see it again, John 20, he's talking about this idea that, no, listen, I'm sending you. John 20, 21, he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. The question is not whether or not God is going to ask us to go. The question is where. And the question is, what will we do? What will we now say? You see, I'm afraid that sometimes we shrink the mission. I'm afraid that we've believed this lie about whether or not God's actually asked us to go. And the truth is that for every single one of us who's experienced the beautiful rebirth that takes place when you place your faith in Jesus Christ and he begins to make you new from the inside out, that he has asked every one of us to take up our cross and to follow him into the field. So what do we do? What do we do with this reality? How does this impact tomorrow? Because as we say, if it doesn't impact tomorrow, then the truth is we're just wasting our time. How does this impact how we follow tomorrow? I think for some of us, we're at the beginning of this journey, and for some of us, there's a struggle that we need to step into and really begin to ask ourselves this question that the scriptures present us with over and over again, that Jesus confronts us with time after time after time. This question that simply is this: is he worth it? Is he worth it all? All those things that you're holding on to, all those things that you won't let go of, is he actually worth it? For me, there's no question. But you have to answer that question for yourself. You have to wrestle through it with him. But I think when you find yourself at the foot of the cross and you see how he took your sin and your brokenness and our ugliness upon himself, and how he took our place, I think the question disappears. But for some of you, that's where you have to go, because until you resolve that in yourself, until you struggle through that, then you'll always struggle to step into the mission. For others of you, it's not the question necessarily of is he worth it? You've resolved that. The question is now, then what is your field? God, absolutely, I believe that you're worth it. And so, God, now, what is my field? Because all of us have a field. If you see our core values here at Hope, Hope, and Grace, one of our core values is the idea of being sent, that every single one of us has been sent. And that God didn't create you for a career. He created you for a group of people. When I look at my life, I believe that my field is Hoboken. I believe that God has called me here to this field. That he's called me to give my life to help people find their way back to him inside this field. For some of you, you have to work through, is he worth it? For others of you, you have to begin to engage him and ask this question, okay, what's my field? None of us individually can accomplish this mission on our own, and we're not supposed to. But we're responsible to be able to work the field that we've been given, that we've been called to. What's your field? And it doesn't start with finding the answer tomorrow. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and know exactly, okay, this is what God has for me and the people that God wants for me to impact. It actually starts by starting right where you are. God hasn't placed you where you are on accident. He's placed you where you are on purpose, and he wants for you to be able to impact the people around you. I believe that today my field absolutely is Hoboken, but as you look back on my story before that, my field was UPS in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's a terrible little town. Just insulting people groups left and right today. That was my field. And for me, this journey started as I was working at UPS and God began to work on me about, okay, how are you going to introduce these guys to me? And I had to work through how to be able to share Christ with people who wanted nothing to do with this conversation. And God was preparing me for the future, absolutely, but it started there, and it starts with you, where you are tomorrow morning, to be able to walk into your workplace with a different purpose and a different focus. To be able to see it no longer is just a place where I make money, but this is my field. And I'm going to do everything that I can to be able to be responsible with the field that I've been given and to trust Christ that the fields are ripe unto harvest. To be able to bring the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. What's your field? You start where you are, then you begin to engage God in this question. And to ask him this, for so many of us, we struggle with purpose because we're asking God what our career is supposed to be instead of who we're supposed to impact. You're having a conversation God's not having. You start to engage him in this conversation of, okay, God, what's my field? You begin to engage the global mission. This is what missions trips are all about. It gives you opportunity to be engaged with God, this global mission, and to be able to see what God's doing in different places, to be able to ask God, where do you want me to go? How do you want to use me? Who do you want me to impact? I used to talk to James, one of the first individuals who came to know Christ here inside of Hoboken Grace, and I used to tell him over and over again, James, God did not create you to be an accountant. He worked for PwC, and God did not create you to be an accountant. He created you and gave you the gifts that he gave you so that you could reach accountants. You got to change the way you look at this and begin to look at, okay, what is my field? For some of you, you're going to have to wrestle through whether or not he's worth it. For others of you, you're going to wake up tomorrow and be able to walk into work in a different way. Start engaging God in this conversation. But then there are some of you here who God has asked you to go. And you're saying no. And in each one of these steps, the truth is, in every step along this journey, there are those of us who are saying no. Some of us are saying, no, I'm not going to let go of it. I'm holding on to it. I don't trust you that you're worth it. And for some of us, we're saying no, and I don't want to ask him. I don't want to know what my field is. I just want to hold on to what I have. For others of us, we're saying no, and that God has made it clear. This is where I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. as we were preparing this morning, it hit me that for a lot of us, the problem along this path is not necessarily that we won't know the next step. I think for a lot of us, the problem along this path is that we're terrified. I think we're terrified to let go of what we have and to really believe that he's worth it. I think we're terrified to engage in this conversation of what our field might be. Even the idea of going on mission for a week, I think we're terrified with the idea of actually stepping into this 100% with him. And a big part of that struck me as Anthony was doing his first silence today, and he said something that, to be honest with you, we say a lot as you're looking at this idea of prayer. He doesn't believe the implications of this, but as he said it, it struck me, and he hasn't said it since because I called him out in every service. But as he was preparing us for silence, he said, I just want to give you a chance, if you will, to call home. And I was already interacting with this idea and praying through this idea that we're afraid. And as he said it, it struck me why we're afraid. I only have to call the people who aren't here. And again, we have this idea that God is somewhere else. If you believe that God is somewhere else, you will never be able to step into mission with him, because you will always be afraid. Listen to the Great Commission again. Listen to this passage. Listen to how Jesus ends it. He understands how important this is. Listen to how Jesus ends it. It says, Jesus came and said to his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. He's talking to them about the mission, right? Listen, guys, go, go, go. But listen to how he ends it, because look at how he ends the conversation with them. He says, and be sure of this. Guys, be sure of this. Do not miss this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Why did he include that at the end? Because he knew. He knew. If they didn't know that he's right here, they'd never have the courage to actually step into the mission. When you look at the story of the church launching, you see these Christians, they're gathered together in this upper room in Acts chapter 2, and as they're gathered, they're unsure of what to do, and Jesus told them to wait, and so they're waiting, but they're afraid. They're afraid until God shows up, and all of a sudden, everything changes. And they begin to move into the streets of Jerusalem with this incredible courage, this incredible bravery. But the bravery wasn't the result of the fact that they had it figured out or that they in some way, shape, or form trusted themselves. Their bravery was a result of the fact that they understood finally the last words of Jesus Christ, that I am going to be with you. And when you begin to accept and you begin to step into the full reality that Jesus is with you everywhere that you go, it changes the way you engage the mission, and you begin to become brave. I'm going to invite the band back up, and as they come back up, I want to give you a chance in just a moment to be able to interact with God about this question. To ask yourself this. I encourage you at the beginning of the song, just sit and just bow your heads where you are and ask this question. I want to challenge you to be brave enough to ask this question. God, what's my field? For some of you, maybe you need to go back and wrestle through that idea of whether or not he's worth it. But for those of you who are willing to trust him, that he will be with you every step of the way, I want to challenge you to ask him this question. God, what's my field? What's my field? And maybe today, God will take you into something more beautiful than you could have ever imagined. What's your field? It's not a question of whether we've been asked. We've been sent. Where have you been sent?